So this morning we're going to continue looking at the nature and activity of the Holy Spirit. And as Andrew has already pointed out to you, there are a number of metaphors used in the Bible to help us understand and engage with the Holy Spirit. So this is not just an intellectual academic exercise here this morning. We're wanting to discover something about the person who is already here so that we can engage with him. Andrew's already spoken about the metaphor of wind. He will be speaking on another occasion, he tells me, about the Holy Spirit being like fire. And today we're going to see how the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit being like water. But, and this is crucial, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is not wind. Okay? And we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is not fire. These are just metaphors. The Holy Spirit is a person. Sometimes we hear people talking about, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, they talk about it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person, a third person of the Godhead, and we can relate to him because he is a person. So metaphors are a way of explaining something or someone that's difficult to explain otherwise. So we take something that we do understand and say, well, it or she is a bit, or he or she is a bit like this. That's what a metaphor is. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit being a bit like the wind, or a bit like fire, or a bit like water, that's what we're saying. Let's look at some scripture passages. Now, some of you have been given a card this morning. And what I'd like you to do, so we're going to start with number one. And I'd like you to say at the beginning, right, either number one or the first reading, so that the person that's got number two will know that they're next. And then we'll sort of work it through like that, okay? But if you could read it out now and as loud as you like, starting with number one, please.
The first reading says, and it's from Jeremiah 2, verse 13. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own systems, broken systems that cannot hold water.
Thank you.
Number two is also from Jeremiah. They have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water.
Thank you.
Number three, from Psalm 42, verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God.
Thank you.
Fourth reading, also from Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water.
The fifth reading is from Psalm 143, verse 6. I spread out my hands to you, I thirst for you like a parched land.
Number 6 is from Isaiah 44, verse 3. I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring.
The seventh reading is from Revelation, chapter 22, verse 17. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the drink of the water of life.
Number 8. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John 1:39.
Thank you. Now, it doesn't take a great mind to work out what are the common words that come through all of those readings? Go on, you can say it to me. Thirst. And water. That's very good. Well done. That wasn't too difficult, was it? I want to talk, first of all, about being thirsty. And then I want to talk about how Jesus promises to quench that thirst or to satisfy that thirst. So before I get into the water image specifically, I want to say something that is extremely important as we think about this person. And it is that we were created to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You were created to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our Creator has made us in such a way that without Him, we are incomplete. Unless and until we are filled with Him, we are not the people that God intended us to be. I think that's really important, because some people talk about the person and the activity of the Holy Spirit as though he or his activity is an added extra to our Christian life, or a sort of touch of luxury, if you like. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is, well, that's like for special people on special occasions. But I really want to underline this more than anything else this morning, is that you are created to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's His intention that every one of us should be filled with the Spirit of God. And unless and until that happens, we are not the people that God intended us to be. So we shouldn't think about the Holy Spirit or speak about Him as though He is an added extra. When we talk about being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about something that is for special or exceptional people, or for special occasions. We're talking about that for which our Creator created us. So if you can switch your thinking, if it's thought about the Holy Spirit in any other way, can you deliberately switch your thinking and address yourself and say, actually, I was meant to be filled with the Spirit of God. My Creator made me to be that. So don't think in terms of this being for someone else. This is for you. I'm very glad we have a vase here. You probably can't see it. Can you see this vase?
Yes.
I suppose I could lift it up, but then I might drop it. Anyway, it's a bit dangerous actually using this as an illustration, because you'll start thinking, oh yeah, a vase filled with water, so the water is like that. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, what I wanted to say to you is this vase, oh, I will pick it up. I know. Oh, thank you. So, this vase was created not as an ornament, it was created to contain water and flowers. If I took the flowers out, which I won't do, and poured the water out, this vase would be incomplete, because it wouldn't be doing what the person who made it to do. But the person that made this didn't make it just as an ornament to sit on the side there. They had in mind that one day this would be filled with water, and someone would put flowers in it, and it would become the very thing that I created it to be. Do you get it? So, I'll put it back there. Thank you very much. And this is where the thirst metaphor is helpful. We were made physically, okay, you were made physically to need fluids in your body. We were made, we don't function properly unless we are taking in fluids. You know that, don't you? So, and when we don't have sufficient fluids in our bodies, they don't function properly. When I started to prepare this, I was sitting in Costa in Flackwell Heath. And I was sat at a table that backed on to the toilets. And as I was writing some of this stuff down, I could hear this very young baby screaming its head off in the toilet. And clearly it was, mum was changing its nappy in there. And I don't know who I felt more sorry for, was the baby or the mother, who was probably feeling really sort of hot and sweaty and, you know, why don't you be quiet or whatever. Anyway, eventually she came out with this baby crying, went over to another table, got out the equipment and fed the baby. And suddenly the baby was quiet. And I was thinking about thirst. And I was thinking, nobody taught that baby how to be thirsty. Nobody said to that baby, even if it could have understood, if you need a drink, just yell. Actually, it's a natural function of our bodies to feel thirsty. It's because there's something missing that we use that word thirst. Now apply that to the total human constitution, if you like. When you're not taking in enough fluid, your body is not just, there's not just as though there's a little place in your body that collects fluid and that feels poorly. Your whole body feels poorly. Thirst affects everything. It affects your mind, you get headaches, you feel listless or tired. If you're not taking in enough fluids, your body doesn't function in the way that it was made to function. So this metaphor of thirst is a really helpful one, and it's why those characters that we heard quoted in scripture, it's why they use that word, because it feels the same way that I feel like I need fluid in my body. That's how I feel about my need for God. I feel like something is missing. I feel like I'm not complete. And there's an instinctive realization of that. So those verses that we read, there were some that referred to neglecting and refusing God's Spirit. Those two quotes from Jeremiah, where it talks about the people having rejected the spring of living water. There were some verses that talked about from the Psalms, where the psalmist was saying, I thirst after you, God, like a parched land that needs water. I thirst after you. And then there are promises of that thirst being satisfied, where God says, I can satisfy that thirst in you. And then there are some words that Jesus, the Son of God, when he came into the world, that he spoke, that encourage us. And I want us to look for the remainder of my talk, really, at that well-known passage in John chapter 4. Where Jesus met the woman at the well who'd come to get physical water because she and her family needed fluids in their bodies. And so it's like Jesus is working with metaphors here. So he's saying, right, you're asking me, I'm asking you for a drink of water. And then the woman starts talking about, I have to come out here every day and I have to get the water and stuff. And then Jesus begins to say, actually, I want to tell you about something other than this water that's in the well. I want to tell you about a living water that if you ask me for it, I would give it to you. And it would become like a spring inside you that would well up over and over again and fill you. So he begins to talk to her in that way. Let's just read a little bit of what he says to her. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, John chapter 4, verse 7, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you've nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." So she hasn't moved away from the metaphor yet. And he told her, "Go and call your husband and come back." And Jesus said to her, she said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." And so the conversation goes on. Let me just read you one other thing that Jesus says in chapter 7 of the same gospel. In verse 37, "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." So it's clear at the well, when Jesus talks about living water, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, as he explains here in John chapter 7. So acknowledging and identifying that thirst is an essential part of our spiritual birth and our spiritual growth, then, it's important that we grasp this. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not just for some special people. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's my firm belief that every human being has a thirst that needs satisfying. And we do try by all manner of means to satisfy that God-created thirst. My father-in-law used to quote an old hymn, and it's sort of based on some of those words in Jeremiah. You may remember it, some of you who were born in 1948. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Now, do you remember it? Who remembers it?
No.
Cool, you Baptists. Eh? Well, that's true. Well, some of you are older than me. Some of you reached it before me. Okay, you know what a cistern is, don't you? It's not that thing behind the toilet. Okay, well, it is. But that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about where water collects in like a cave, if you like, in a rock. And in those prophecies in Jeremiah, the Lord is saying, you know, you've you've rejected the living water that I wanted to give you, and you've looked for water in other systems, in other places. And that old song says, I tried the broken systems, Lord, but the waters failed. And the chorus is, now none but Christ can satisfy. No other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. So when this woman came to the well, she had a thirst. She had a physical thirst, yes. But Jesus knew that there was something even deeper within her that needed satisfying. She had apparently looked for it in relationships of one sort or another, but that clearly wasn't working for her. There was a whole queue of broken systems in her life. For others, the attempt to quench or satisfy that thirst can be pursuing wealth or property or career or sex or money, fame, power. But all of these leave us with a still unsatisfied thirst. And then along comes Jesus to this woman and to us and says, if you were to ask me, I would give you water that is living and, what is more, will keep welling up within you. And by this, he's referring to the possibility and the promise of the very presence of God coming into a person and potentially filling them. In John chapter 3, Jesus talks about the initial experience of being born of the Spirit. And Paul makes it clear later on, if you do not have the Spirit, then you don't have Christ. If you don't have Christ, you don't have the Holy Spirit. So being born of the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in us at that point of salvation in our lives. And he secures for us a position as children of God. But the promise of God and the intention of God is for that birth to reach its full potential and purpose in every one of God's children being full of the Holy Spirit. Every part of your life. Please don't think of your body as being like an empty vessel that needs to be filled up with liquid. You know, that sometimes we use those sorts of illustrations and they sort of fail because that's not what it's saying. When Jesus came into my life, he came into my life. He came into every part of my life. He wants to fill my life. He wants to fill every part of what I am and who I am. So it's not, do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, He wants to fill my family life. He wants to fill my relationships. He wants to fill my work life. He wants to fill what I am in the church. He wants to fill every part of me. So that every part of what I am radiates the presence of God. That's his intention. That's what he created us for. So not like a vase filled with liquid, but perhaps a little bit more like that little child, that little baby I was telling you about, who's not fully satisfied. That's that instinctive thirst. There's something missing. It's something that I'm not complete. I need whatever my Creator has created me to be. So that relationship with God is meant to affect every part of our lives. So what do I do about this? Well, how can I have that thirst satisfied in me? Well, number one is to be born of the Spirit. So what I would say to you, if you're looking for that fulfillment, that satisfaction anywhere else, it will always leave you with that sense of incompleteness, because you were created to be the dwelling place of Almighty God. He wants to put his Spirit in you. So what you have to do is to acknowledge that God is on your case. I was in another church in Reading last Sunday, and I was preaching to the congregation there, and I've been there many, well, in fact, I was the pastor of that church for 16 years, and we were going back there after we'd left there 23 years ago, I think it was, but know a lot of the people very well. And I looked across, and there was a young man, well, he was young for me, he's probably up about 40, but anyway, he was sitting there with his children, his wife, and his mother. And I looked at him and I thought, I think I know you. And I spoke to him afterwards. And when I was the pastor in that church, he was about 14, 15. Mark Donaldson.
Oh, yes.
And he was a right rat bag. and nowhere, didn't come anywhere near church. And there he was sitting there, and I spoke to him afterwards. I said, I'm so delighted to see you. Obviously, his mother's delighted to see him there as well. And he said to me, I think God's after me. And I said, yes, you bet he's after you. And then we had a conversation. But I think part of being born again, born of the Spirit, is acknowledging that God is on your case. God is after you. Admit that you've tried to satisfy that need with things other than the God who created you. And say, God, I'm so sorry. I've been looking for you. I've been looking for satisfaction in all sorts of other things. I'm sorry for that. I'm coming to you now, my Creator. And I want you to do in me whatever you need to do. Recreate me. Make me new. So that's where it starts. The second thing to do is, once you are a child of God, is to acknowledge your thirst. Acknowledge it. I was in a prayer meeting last Saturday morning, and one of the guys that I was praying with there, he just began, he's the one that usually leads the meeting, and he began by saying, I just have to confess to you folks, I'm dry. I'm so dry. Well, he has sort of an excuse, because his wife had just had a baby, and suddenly it's their first child, and their whole routine of, you know, reading scripture and praying together had gone completely out the window. And he was just feeling the effect of that in his relationship with God. And he was just saying, I'm dry. You know, this is how you get your thirst quenched, is that you acknowledge that you're thirsty, that you're dry. Don't be satisfied with anything less than this. You know, don't become a plodder. You know, oh, well, you know, it's all right for those people. They seem to really have got the joy of the Lord and that. But I don't know. I don't think it's for me. I think it's for special people. I think it's for special occasions. I'll wait till Pentecost comes around. Acknowledge your thirsty. Say, this, you know, that, you know, one of those songs that there must be more than this. There must be more than this. Third is, come back again and again to Jesus, the source of living water. You know, you can't do this on you. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit just by, you know, trying to work something up inside you. Keep coming back to Jesus, because he's the one that says, I will give you living water. We need to just keep coming back to him, because he's the source of living water. 4, open yourself up each day to the Holy Spirit and your dependence on him. This isn't a once-for-all thing, you know. I remember, you know, people used to talk about, I don't know, perhaps they still do, something like, you know, is yours a Spirit-filled church? My answer to that was, well, it was 2 days ago. I don't quite know what condition it's in at the moment. Well, you could say to me, are you a Spirit-filled Christian? And I might say, well, I was yesterday, but I'm not sure about today. You know, because, you know, was it D.L. Moody, wasn't it, that said, I leak? You know, there are, you know, life bashes you about, things happen, and you feel like, I'm not as full of the Holy Spirit as I was. Somehow, something's missing again, and I need to open myself up to him again. I need to say, I need you, Lord. I'm dependent on you. And the fifth one, lastly, is to work at not offending or grieving him in any way. And this is why it's essential to recognize that the Holy Spirit is a person. Because you can grieve him. You can offend him. If you choose to do the things that he has told us not to do in his word, if you've chosen to try and live your life without him, then you grieve him. And then you're not full of him. So work hard at not offending or grieving him in any way. Be quick to confess your sin and quick to worship Jesus, who, by the way, the Holy Spirit loves to glorify. So, you're onto a good bet if you glorify Jesus, because the Holy Spirit will say, yeah, I'm there. You know, if you make much of Jesus, he's there with us. I'd like us, look at the time, it's completely flown. What's the time? Bill?
Past 12.
Oh. I've got something here about lying, was it? I'd like us to spend a little bit of time just going through some of those things, just gently. Because as I said several times already, He's here. He's with us. And it would be good for us, wouldn't it, to acknowledge his presence again. Say, Lord, I'm so glad you're here. There may be somebody where you've been looking, you've been looking for something other than the presence of God to satisfy that instinctive thirst that you have in your life. This may be your moment to just say, forgive me, Lord, and come into my life, Lord, please. I want to be born of your Spirit. I want you to recreate me, to make me into a new creation in Christ. Maybe that you just need, as I often do, need to say, I'm so thirsty, God. I am so thirsty for you. And we need to come to Jesus with that thirst and open ourselves up to him again. We're going to sing a couple of songs that help us to express something of that. But don't think of this as this is a singing session now. He's shut up and now we'll start singing songs. Try and use these songs as a way of expressing something of your own desire to draw near to him. And we'll see how that goes, shall we? We've got these lovely words that I'm sure we do know very well. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. This is a good way of acknowledging our thirst and our need of God. We're just going to use the first verse and chorus of this song. We'll probably sing it a few times, but just an opportunity for us to express that thirst before him. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for the promises that you made in the Old Testament. And thank you for the promises that you made through your Son Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Spirit of God, that you've chosen to be amongst your people and to be in our lives. We want to say thank you for that. We want to acknowledge our thirst. We want to say to you again, Lord, I'm thirsty. I'm not complete, Lord, until you are filling every part of my life, and I'm here again to drink deep, really. To ask your Spirit to fill me. Forgive me, Lord, for the things that I've done wrong, ways in which I may have grieved or offended you. Thank you that there's forgiveness. Your word says that as I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that forgiveness. Come and fill me, Lord, please. Come and fill my life, every part, Lord. The bits that are easy and the bits that are hard. Please, Lord. How many of you if your child asks you for bread, would you give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would you give him a scorpion? How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I believe God wants to say to us that his hands are open towards us to give us gifts, this precious gift. We don't have to prize his fingers, his fist open in order to get at this gift. It's there in his open hands for us. This living water. Father, hear the cry of your thirsty people. Lord, fill our lives, please. Lord, let this church be a church where it could be said that, Lord, out of us flow rivers of living water. Lord, that touch the lives of the people in this community who at this point don't know you. And yet, we believe they are thirsty. They've been created to need you, Lord. So we pray, Lord. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Let your Spirit, Lord, change us and empower and equip us in such a way that as a church and as individuals together, Lord, we are able to impact the people who are still outside your family. Empower us, Lord. Equip us, Lord, please. Let this group of your people here be your servants and your vessels and temples of your Spirit that radiate your presence. Father, we ask you for this as your blessing on us. We long for your blessing. We long for your smile. We long, as it were, for your kiss, Lord, upon our lives and our life together as your church. We ask it because of Jesus. Because of our beautiful, lovely Saviour, who we honour and adore, we pray that, Lord, you would do everything you need to do in us so that his name is lifted up and he is honoured and glorified. That would be a great blessing, Father. Amen.